That's it. Thanks, Vin. That was about the most abbreviated Vin Scully call we're ever going to get, especially on this show. Hey, Katie. It's good
morning,
with
Nathan.
It, girl.
You know, it's Wednesday.
It is. It's The Drive right here on KHTK. Giants falling to the Dodgers in that series opener last night to now trail by 2 games in the West, and that was quite possibly one of their better shots at getting a win, putting Madison Bumgarner on the hill, but he's struggled a hair recently, and last night was no exception. He lasted just 5 innings, giving up 5 runs on 9 hits. All of them were earned, and what's really bizarre about it when you kind of look at his stat line is, you know, in those 5 innings, he struck out 7, only gave up 1 walk. That just tells you exactly how hot the Dodgers are right now because they were hitting everything in sight.
Absolutely.
Did you how much of that? I mean, I know there was a lot of stuff going on, but how much of that did you catch? And my God, that was a long game that ran late.
It was
late,
long. So. Replays.
Replay. Yeah,
I saw, which is the great thing about it. You know, you can go and see key plays just on the intraweb, which is fantastic.
Adrian Gonzalez stayed hot. He had 3 home runs 2 nights ago,
right,
against Cincinnati.
Oh, like, didn't he have like a career high, like 8 RBIs or something crazy?
Absolutely
like that?
Lit up the Reds.
And then came in and just followed it up with a nice showing last night.
Yep, 2 for 4, drove in 3, and you know, that was just kind of the story for the Giants. They lose 9-5, and again, 2 games back now in the division. It seemed like kind of a typical game, too, where, you know, they've had a lot of trouble with their offense recently, but
right.
Then on the rare occasions where they do get a few runs, I mean, they, you know, they had 4 runs through 6 innings. That should be enough support for Madison Bumgarner. But every time they would kind of answer back with a run or avoid a shutdown inning, the Dodgers would bounce back and just kind of base hit them to death.
Well, and there was that time where they were tied up, and I believe it was in the 5th inning. And then in that inning, Bumgarner had a 9-pitch walk, loaded bases. I mean, just things went south from that point. And to me, the Dodgers, obviously, they're hot, but one of the interesting things about what they're able to do right now, I believe last night they put like their 27th person on the DL, which is like,
they've got crazy
injuries, but they're figuring out ways to win. And whenever you're without your ace in Clayton Kershaw, and they've been without him for a while, they've picked up 10 wins since then, I believe. And it's, they're figuring out ways to win. They have momentum and they're carrying it through. On the flip side, the Giants have not played well. They have the worst record in Major League Baseball since the All-Star break. And there isn't any indication yet that they're going to fight their way out of it. They haven't been able to gain any true momentum and carry it through. So it's concerning when you look at the fact that it's late August right now, and this is not the time where you want to see a team kind of momentum going down.
No, it's kind of a crap storm of terror right now. And one of the reasons that, you know, like I hold off on freaking out for so long, partially because the Giants have built up enough goodwill with their fan base that you have a lot of time before you start freaking
right.
out. But the other part of it is that I know that once it finally happens, I just bail completely off the deep end and there's no logic left. So last night I'm watching this game and I'm thinking, all right, Madison Bumgarner, I mean, he's not pitching terribly, but statistically he was pitching terribly. The defense is just, I'm looking at this team and what I don't see is a competitive playoff team. Their defense is terrible. Nunez, since he came over, I feel bad for the guy because he just can't catch a break on anything. The fans hate him because they loved Matt Duffy, and he can't hit real well, and he's been thrown out stealing several times, which has to have Bruce Bochy thinking, what was I thinking, you know, getting speed for the base paths? It takes me back to the old Earl Weaver thing. He goes, you know, what does everyone want team speed for? You get these flies on the base paths out there making outs. Get those big guys that can just, I'm paraphrasing here
right.
because we would have had to bleep every other word, but get those big guys that can just hit the ball out of the ballpark. You don't have to worry about making outs on the base paths. So all of these things, listen, I saw this stat last night. Listen to this, Katie. StatCast has the outfield arms for the Giants as the 29th best in the league.
I saw that.
Averaging 83.5 miles an hour on competitive
Isn't
throws.
Isn't like the average like just under 89?
Shade under 89. 88.7 miles an hour. And you could see, and I think this has become a trend, but the Dodgers really took advantage of it last night, being aggressive on base hits to the outfield.
Right.
just testing those arms, because there's a bunch of weenie arms out there, man. Angel Pagan can't throw. Denard Span can't throw. Hunter Pence used to be able to. He's by far the best arm in that outfield, but
just not getting it done.
No. And so I'm thinking, like, this team is done. I'm ready to bury them. I'm ready to have the funeral.
You're ready to bury them right now.
But that's why I...
What would it take... In your mind, when you look at this season and how it's going right now, particularly since the All-Star break, what is it going to take over the next, say, 2 weeks for you to change your mind?
Win every damn game? No, it's they have to show consistency with their starting pitching, and then they have to get support. Like, it's really what they're not doing right now is playing team baseball. And I know it seems like kind of a bizarre thing in such an individual sport, but
such an easy rabbit hole to go down when your
defense has got to pick up the offense, has got to pick up the pitching. I mean, it's all, and when all those things, when the Giants finally do, they can't get them all together on the same night. When they finally do hit, the pitching's not there. When the pitching's there, they can't find any runs. And if both of those things are working, you know, the defense lets them down. It's just what I need to see is them to start coming together as a team. I kind of think a lot of times with baseball seasons, because they're so lengthy, and you can see it in other sports, but, you know, because it's just every damn day, you know, like, you ever have a wheel that's out of balance or something like that, or, you know, if it goes slow, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't show that it's out of balance, but the faster you go, the more it starts to vibrate, and then, like, as fast and fast and fast, eventually everything just, like, flies apart, because, you know, it... The more it's out of balance, the more it's like a self.
It's the same thing if you think about it in terms of like a little, like a small injury, right? You look at like, oh, you tweak your ankle and you continue to play on it, but you're favoring it. And so then your knee starts hurting, then your back starts hurting,
then your hips.
Like it just, it's like a you know, volcano from that point. It just,
right,
it
before you know it, everything's
and then
screwed
it just
up.
Blows up.
Nothing's working right together anymore. You got to relearn it all. That's kind of where the Giants are right now. And they've got a tall order ahead of them because, as Andy McCullough of the LA Times told our station yesterday, the Dodgers' confidence is sky high. I just want to sit here for a little bit.
So far,
it is never too early for some Beyonce.
I know, Queen Bey.
Okay,
a little Jay-Z. Yeah,
we're good.
You're bouncing.
It's a good wake up song.
It is, and you know what? Two for two so far to start the show, Matt. Well done,
Nate and Katie, with you. It's a drive. Matt's over there pressing the buttons, making us groove. The whole trick here with the song is just to get Katie to dance. That's all we really want. Because I'll dance to anything, but Katie,
doesn't
take much. Getting Katie out of that chair, she's pretty much screwed to it.
I am not.
No.
You know, I'm always the one that's like quite literally up and dancing.
You're grooving.
That's why it's great that it's radio. No one has to see my
dance.
That's
good. You know what else is great? Twin Peaks. Because it's 6:19, which means it's time to book your fantasy football draft party in the Twin Peaks Man Cave. Man,
word has it that we have a draft party coming up for the station.
Yeah, so I've heard.
Yeah, found out about that yesterday. Finally got a date for that. We're going to be able to have people come out and join us, and I'm going to have my maiden voyage into fantasy football, I guess is the way to put it.
Yeah, well, allegedly. I mean, if there's one thing that I've learned, even though that we did discuss it yesterday and set a date for this, until we've, you know, got the copy in front of us to talk about it, I am not saying a damn thing. Nothing.
Well,
not a word.
We can tease that it's coming up.
Quite possibly.
Details to come.
Anyway, go check out Twin Peaks. They say it's like that one restaurant with the orange shorts, only better. Like, with more class. Because the place with the shorts talks about being tacky. I mean, listen, I don't mind. Like, what are your beer prices? But...
The reality of the situation is, for me to be happy, they just have to have really good wings.
That's it?
I'm very hard to please.
Mm.
Yeah,
get you some chicken. You like the bird.
Some chicken wings.
Sean Salisbury is going to join us, and we'll talk a little bit of football coming up at 8 o'clock. We're also going to start a little thing in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to kind of go across all of the divisions over the next, week or so?
Yeah.
Excuse me. And take a look at the quarterbacks.
Are
because
you okay?
No, I'm not. I drank a heavy IPA last night, and so I got a little bit of bubble guts going on right now.
Great.
But I'm trying to keep it. You asked for it. Anyway, because we are so inspired by the 49ers quarterback race and their competition between, I don't know, like.
Yeah. I felt like it was
2.5 real NFL players worth of talent between four guys.
I felt like it was a good idea when we were talking yesterday after the show. It's like, gosh, you know.
We're like, you know what?
Maybe
a lot of teams have crappy quarterbacks.
Fans, we've spent a lot of time on that. Maybe we can shed a little light on some of the other issues going on around the league so that people don't feel so bad in San Fran.
Yeah, so today we're going to take a look at the quarterbacks in the absolute worst division in football, the NFC East. They were historically awful last year, that division was. So bad that Washington made the playoffs with Kirk Cousins, and they didn't even beat a winning team last year. That's how good the NFC East was. So we're going to talk about all their awesome quarterbacks. That's coming up at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. But we pivot here from real football to, like, not so real football because Madden came out yesterday, Katie, and you were really excited. I know. I like
you
Matt.
Know, yesterday on the thread when you guys were, I don't know, it went on for a while, and finally Kevin, our producer slash boss, you know, said, I wonder when Katie's going to answer. I was
like, when you give me something relevant?
I was standing in line for Madden.
You're a liar.
Okay, yeah.
That's not even.
I thought you were going to say we didn't text for the longest time because we didn't have anything to do with anything but our TVs. But
I mean, that was pretty much it. Initial thoughts.
Did you go buy it?
Hell yeah. I went right after the show. Yeah.
Did you really?
And our meeting took too damn long.
Did you go buy it?
Yeah. Store opened at 10. I walked right. It's right down the street.
Yeah,
I just walked
I know
right
it's
over
down
there.
The street. You went right down there. Huh?
Walked right down there and picked
Why'd
it up.
Why'd you walk?
Because I'm fit as a fiddle and need to stay that way.
Yeah. That's what Hoblet Dodge is for, buddy.
Well, it was a waste of gas, really. Mm. I mean, to drive across the street, I'd say, no, I can walk.
Okay, so you guys got it.
Yeah, anyway, initial thoughts are that something that came out at midnight yesterday, right out of the box, should probably not need 45 minutes worth of downloadable updates and patches.
Welcome to next gen.
Yeah.
Really?
You know, it's unbelievable.
Well, and it took, how long did it take you? Because you were doing it after our meeting yesterday here in the studio. I took your picture for it.
After all of that work, what I found out is that you can't use Game Face on Madden 17.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Nope, it's for FIFA and UFC. So that was a total and utter waste of time.
How long did you spend trying to get your Game Face?
Too long.
Okay.
Not talking about that.
All right.
Far too long. But Katie was complicit, so... So you get through the 45 minutes worth of downloadable updates. And listen, that's good because, you know, back in the day, if you got a game with a glitch, it was just glitched. And you figured out how to cheat your way around it, much like, you know, Bo Jackson basically being a glitch in Tecmo Bowl. The opening, you can't even get, like, straight to a game. It throws you into this scenario, this wild, insane fantasy scenario where it's like they're welcoming the Rams back to L.A.
Oh,
by putting them in the middle of a wild card playoff game at home that they're hosting against Washington, which, first off, when I start the game, I want to be able to do whatever the hell I want. Don't throw me in with two random teams, especially two crappy teams where, like, one of them is totally lousy and has a racist caricature on their helmet, and the other one is just a really crappy team that's owned by a crap chicken billionaire that tucked out of St. Louis with his tail between his legs where they're still, you know, $250 million in debt over the stadium that he insisted they build.
Since I've never played it, how accurate is it? Like, if this is how it starts and the Rams are playing a game in L.A., was there also...
Well, number one, the Rams aren't going to be hosting a wild card playoff this year.
Yes, I realize that. But was there also, like, a thing where, you know, in order to get into the stadium, you had to pay, like, $100 for parking first?
Right. You have to pay $100 for parking unless you drive in the bike lane. And then you're good.
That actually happened, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was watching the news the other day, and it was their preseason game in L.A., and people were paying $80 to $100 for parking.
Hey, bring it all around, because you can thank our good friend Daniel Snyder for that, the owner of that stupid Washington football team. Anyway, as far as the actual game goes, I mean, what did you think, Matt, once you finally got into it?
Well, to speak to that opening bit, I didn't understand it. I didn't really like it either. I wanted to just get right into the game, but at least there's a way to kind of experience it so you could relearn the controls or whatever, even though it wasn't really much of a tutorial.
They did overhaul a couple of things, so it was good to get a minor tutorial.
Right, and the perks of Madden games and video games, sports video games in general, is it is almost like real-life fantasy. Like, you can take a team like the Rams and you can make them good, or
right,
you can reestablish them. So I was okay with the scenario. I mean, it was not necessary, but it was there. It was okay. In terms of the game itself, I'm already like halfway through my first season in a franchise, which is pretty fun.
There you go. Playable.
So, yeah, it's playable. It's fun. I think the graphics are great. The only thing I was a little disappointed with were the player models. I think the player models look like they're from 2014, not really up to date. The field looks great. The stadiums look great, but the player models still look a little bad.
Was the paint sticky?
Sticky.
Well, you know.
Sticky paint?
See, one of the things that EA Sports has really kicked the dog on with this exclusive partnership with the NFL is that because graphics are so advanced now on these systems, they put so much time and energy into, I don't know, making sure things look good that they neglect actual gameplay type of stuff. So, you know, 45 minutes of updates out of the box and the game was still glitchy. You know, it's still locking up at certain places. Anyway, I guess the point is, overall, I generally liked it, but I have a major problem with them trying to sell me on the Rams coming back to L.A. as something that's actually noteworthy. That's a garbage franchise with a garbage rookie quarterback with a garbage head coach that's ran by a garbage little man that owes St. Louis a lot of money.
I think this person on the texter from the 707, where is the 707?
Bay Area, I think.
Okay. I think you're playing bad in 2030 because there's no way the Rams make the playoffs before then. Trash team.
Trash. Garbage.
Dumpster fire.
One of my favorite things that I was able to do in the game when I was with my franchise mode is actually the first thing I did was I became the owner of the Oakland Raiders and spent $10 million refurbishing the Coliseum
bathrooms. That's it, yep.
You could do that?
Yeah, so you can rebuild your stadium.
Oh, man, the owner mode is insanely deep.
Or you can relocate. So the first thing I did was kick the Davis family out of Oakland, and I took over as the owner of the Raiders.
So it's a little like Sim City meets...
kind of. And you start with $15, $20 million, and the first thing I did was refurbish the seating and the bathrooms at the Coliseum for $15 million.
You would be such a good owner, Matt.
Get that fan stuff up.
Yeah.
So, riveting stuff on the video game front. Bulging us on that there, K-Tech.
I did my best.
Yeah. When we return, there are some new shoes out, and Michael Jordan is still the greatest of all time, even though they're not his shoes. We'll tell you how those things relate to one another when we get back on the drive. Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, then. Funky groove time on a Wednesday here. Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen.
It's really the best way to start a Wednesday.
With Michael Jackson.
The musica.
MJ. Matt George pressing the buttons over there. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. If you want to jump aboard, we'll take you right up until 9 o'clock. Sean Salisbury's going to talk a little football with us. We're also going to get four down territory. We'll take a look at the quarterback situations across the worst division in football, the NFC least. We get some love on the text line there for the Rams. Everyone seems to like them a
great
deal.
You know what we did get? We got a, hey, great, I turned on sports radio for a Nickelodeon update about video games, the 916. Well, sorry about that one. I will say that that was not my idea.
Oh, shut up.
Secret is Katie played for like 12 hours last night, I bet.
Yeah,
probably. So just real quick before we get to this James Harden thing and his stupid shoes, the Great Britain Olympic team decided they were going to go ahead and, you know, like the actual Olympic committee there thought they were going to do their athletes a favor by providing luggage for them, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, piece of cake, team luggage, everything's good.
That's normal.
Well, until you consider the fact that air travel stinks when you can't identify your bag coming off the line because every single person on your plane has the exact same damn bag that you do.
That's why you put like a little ribbon on it or a bag tag that looks different.
Well,
it's
you can see.
It's not hard.
You can see, well, there's hundreds of them.
I get that.
You can see the pictures. If you go on over to deadspin.com, you can see the pictures. A lot of the athletes were tweeting about it. Here you can see Katie just. Just red luggage after red luggage.
Oh, my goodness.
You tag your stuff up. But see, what I always do, that's why I'm, like, super sloppy with everything I do. When I tag my luggage, I don't just put a little piece of tape around the handle. I put a big, stupid piece of tape, like,
right in a line
across the center of
there are ways to fix this. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, still, with all the red luggage, I feel
good deeds gone bad.
I feel so bad for them because it's no different than everybody in the world buys black luggage.
Right.
So, you know.
So don't buy black luggage.
If you have a problem with it, then figure out. There's always a solution.
Yes.
Don't be the problem. Be the solution. That's what I'm saying on a Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay. So shoe talk now. My flawless transition. You guys might remember a little while ago.
Speaking of gear.
Yeah, Steph Curry. There you go. Steph Curry released the Chef Curry, and the internet absolutely tore him apart because those shoes were terrible. You're not so bad on him. But I mean,
especially now. Especially now that we're seeing James Harden.
So, yeah, James Harden got the same treatment last night. He's finally got his own signature shoe. As you remember, he signed a huge deal with Adidas not too long ago. He releases this shoe. It's called the Triple Black Colorway. Well, it is the Triple Black Colorway is what it's called, the color style. I don't know exactly what the shoe is called. But basically, if you were going to describe this, before I moved to Sacramento, I spent like 3 or 4 summers doing roofing and construction, and I had to wear like big, bulky work boots, basically. And when you do things like roofing, you get tar all over your shoes and it ruins them. And that's pretty much what these James Harden shoes look like. They look like someone spent the summer on a roof tearing off shingles and then sent it out as a basketball shoe.
So these aren't basketball shoes, are they? They're hiking boots, right? They've got to be.
they look like it.
Got to be. There's no way he wears these for a game.
So
they're like all brown and bulky.
I'll give him a break. I think they look like
they're from the 80s. Like there's no there looks like there's no like technology involved and like stuff.
Not at all. They didn't even try.
No,
they didn't even bother. And the internet was all over it. One of them from on Twitter, Brandon Borders, please stop making fun of the Harden shoe. It looks like it's already been roasted enough. Now, those weren't quite as good as the Curry ones, as you remember, people calling them orthopedic shoes, stuff like that. But what this really reminds me of, and this is a little over a year old, so, you know, we're going to be, I don't want to say late to the party, but I had to play this once I saw it last night.
Okay.
Because if you're not familiar with the Vine meme, what are those? The way it works is, it all started a while back. This guy was just talking to a cop, or I don't know if he'd been pulled over or whatever, but the cop asked him if he had any questions, and the kid points to the cop's shoes and says, "What are those?" And, you know, roasted the cop, right? And it just became like a huge hit on Vine, and kids were running around doing that when they saw lame-ass dad shoes or whatever. They'd do the "What are those?" thing, right? So last August, Michael Jordan had his basketball camp down in your old stomping ground,
Santa Barbara.
Well, one of the kids there was trying to be a smartass and thought that he'd pull the old "what are those" on Mike, and it didn't go exactly how he planned. Just have a listen. Kids are falling out, and Mike's got no idea. The kids are rolling on the ground. Just to context, there's like hundreds of kids at this basketball camp, and they've lost it because this dude just roasted Michael Jordan.
Right.
Michael Jordan's old.
He has no idea what's going on.
Has no idea. He just sees these kids falling out, and he's standing up there giving a speech, and he kind of turns around. He's talking to one of his assistants.
Q&A.
Yeah, he's talking to one of his assistants like, what is
why is this so funny?
What does that mean?
I don't get it.
Continue. Let him have it, kid. These are 29 lows.
I love how the kids are hyped that they confused Michael Jordan.
With my image on it.
I know. Like that.
Can't even get them in stores yet, fool.
Because, that's the number one part. The 29 lows had not yet been released at the time. So not only is that the ultimate rooster wagging, like, hey, I still got the good stuff. To me, and even like slightly more subtle and overlooked, but definitely the most beautiful element of this is that what he's really saying is, these are my shoes. Whose are you wearing? Whose shoes are you wearing, young man? Are you wearing my shoes? They got my logo on them. What do you got?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
No one's going to be doing this to James Harden. No one. I mean, they're going to be doing the "what are those?" But no one else is going to have them on.
I think Jordan actually does have some basketball shoes that are blue suede. I know that there are suede Jordans.
Suede?
Mm-hmm.
Because that makes sense.
Hey, dude, you don't rip on Jordans.
You know, I don't understand the whole shoe thing either. I don't understand the Madden crap. I don't understand the shoe thing.
I'm with you there.
When I was playing, I don't care whose logo is on there, how much they cost, they better damn well be comfortable, because you put your feet through so much crap as a, especially as
Jordans
a professional.
Jordans are the most comfortable shoes.
Oh, I had a deal with New Balance when I was in the WNBA, and I wore them, and they, seriously, you can laugh all you want.
No, I'm not, I'll tell you why I'm laughing, just a second.
Most comfortable shoes that I could find. They were so phenomenal. But it was like, okay, I had to like tape out the logo for games and like all that stuff. I didn't care. I did not care. My feet, it was already awful. Like, I had plantar fasciitis, like all of that. You got to wear the most comfortable shoes. And I personally don't think, and this is going to send all kinds of people into a crazy fit, Jordans were never comfortable to me. They're very hard.
Because you're just wrong. The best burn of the Curry 2 is, this is why I laughed at you, is because the best burn of the Curry 2 is, the guy says the Curry 2s are for guys who used to wear New Balance but were still having too much sex.
Oh, good Lord. And on that note,
Derek Carr had some words. He spoke to people, and people like him, too. So we'll share those words with you when we return on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. Some of our friends on the text line listen to my spots a little too closely.
Well, they're not all that easy to do, the live reads. Just got to wing it.
I had a minor flub with one of my Hoblet ones the other day, where instead of saying that you can get trucks starting at $19,995, I said $19,95. I was like, that... I don't think it's not accurate, I can tell you that. 6:51, time to visit your Twin Peaks girl for the coldest beer, great food, and all the sports you want to see. Join Sports 1140 for Live on the Boulevard this Thursday starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Stephen Young Amphitheater in the Eldorado Hills Town Center. It's a free concert featuring Forger, a tribute to Foreigner and Journey, to fine musical acts. For more info, visit Eldorado Hills Town Center. .com. Derek Carr is the Raiders quarterback. He seems to be primed for a breakout season. The first part you already knew. The second part you suspected. The third part is that he's like a really genuine guy. And not, he's kind of got the weird, like, I give Russell Wilson a lot of grief for kind of being a nerd robot type and, you know, that type of thing. Derek Carr to me is, he's kind of, I don't want to say a plain personality, like he's, because he's not. That's the difference between him and Russell Wilson, is you get a little bit of personality out of Derek Carr. Whereas I think, like, you know, personal life is pretty tame for Derek Carr. He's married, he's got kids, you know, like he's a family man, all that type of stuff. I think like his off the field life is generally pretty vanilla. That's not
normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's normal anyway?
You know.
Point is,
you can relate to it.
Point is, there's every excuse in the world for him to be a boring interview, and he's not. And, you know, he did his press conference yesterday afternoon. We've got some of that for you right here. Derek, talk to us, friend. So Derek Carr there, and, you know, that's especially the early part, Katie, is the part that I was referring to, especially where he, you know, is very conscious of the fact that he's got to be him. And I like that. It's kind of refreshing where I don't think there's any obligation to be you just because there's a camera on you. But, you know, not everyone can be Tom Brady and be Mr. Dole
right.
And still beloved. I don't think there's a big difference personality-wise, a public image from Tom Brady to Russell Wilson. Tom Brady gets away with it. Russell Wilson's kind of boring. Derek Carr said, screw that. I'm going to be me.
He seems very relatable and likable. There's few of those guys that are like the face of a franchise in professional sports. That's why you got to love them.
Quarterbacks in the NFC least. We're going to tell you all about them when we return. 1 hour in the books on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.